That took entirely too long. Hey guys, gals, it's you, it's me. It's season 3 of YDT, episode 184, I do believe. A show which pulls back the curtain, takes on the walls brick by brick, exposes the true hearts of those caring for those that you love most. And I know why the seasoned professionals, those that have paved the way for the profession that we love so very much, that you're intrigued by, maybe you're in, if this finds you here, which I'm grateful for you being here this day. It's because of idiots that are posting stupid videos that are disrespectful to the deceased. I think it's important to educate, yes, but someone wrote me on Instagram at Nathan Morris and they said, hey, have you seen this account? And there's a few that have popped up like this where people go into the place like the refrigeration or somewhere else without consent, without this level of respect, laughing, smiling. You know, there's not delicacy from a visual standpoint whatsoever. I mean, if permitted, if all of the proper protocol was taken, I could understand there being something educational about it. Not in this instance, not as far as I know. And from what I saw visually, them in a cooler refrigeration, seeing people in sheets or bags imprinted, you know, you don't see a person, but you know there's a person. It's for the shock value. Titles saying don't click this video, you know, that's why the profession, the seasoned individuals who don't necessarily get social media, who know that the delicacy of the profession is not something to be toyed with, and that's toying with it. I think it's for the wrong purpose, that video specifically. I don't know this person's account. It probably will have been flagged or taken down by the time in which before they can blink twice. I don't know, maybe not, but it gives people like myself and Lauren and Melissa and Hospice Nurse Julie and all of those who are trying really hard to educate. You know, I do fun videos. I do videos that educate about strange things that happen to people's remains after they die, because that's history. That's public knowledge, public record, public information. 200 years have since passed. It's not like yesterday and you're talking about a family that's currently in your care. I mean, there's just so much to be delicate with, and I get it. And we can still have fun and joke about people that are former drug lords doing something very terrible and illegal and allegedly faking their deaths. I mean, there's something humorous about people who think they're pulling one over and talking about that, but being mindful of those who are actually genuinely currently in the care, currently grieving, being delicate, being intentional. It's more of a public service announcement. I get it. I hear it. The seasoned individuals who are frustrated with social media and those that are putting videos out there, because it's assholes like that guy. And maybe he's a nice guy, but I've never once, you know, thought to film a room filled with deceased loved ones. If ever I've entered a holy space, it's never been with anyone shown, or let alone anyone in there. I just think that there's some reverence that can be carried out still and still educate. Nonetheless, this is episode 184. There's a lot that's happened. I'm back from LA. LA during Grammy week was amazing and insane. There's paparazzi at Craig's restaurant. It was a really fun place. It's a staple in West Hollywood, and I don't know who was there, but people were flashing cameras and it was pretty wild. There was huge security guards, officers, whatever you want to call them, and I did not want to be on their bad side. Yeah, big muscles. Anyway, here we are. Let's take a deep dive. I'll never forget my first call. My first call was very... it was memorable because we showed up to a road that's really close to the river. And those are the homes that are probably early 1900s, when my hometown was really developing out. It was developing west first before it went south. And maybe it went south too, but nonetheless, these are small homes located close to the river, and we show up and the coroner's outside. What have I said about that? And if you follow me on every social, Nathan Morris Music on TikTok, which subscribe, because $5.99 a month, we're going to be touring 2024. We got a lot of shows tentatively, and the moment that they go become official, we announce them. And if they're in your city, for sure, one of the perks of being first looks, first listens, first watches, not to mention every Sunday going live for subscribers only at 10/9 Central, we have opportunities for VIP hangouts, VIP meet and greets for $5.99 a month on TikTok. But I was talking about how when the coroner's outside, that's a bad sign. And in this instance, it was my first transfer ever. We show up in the 2012 Dodge Caravan. It was light navy, almost gray. And Mr. Day was outside smoking one of his, what are those called? Black and Milds? Yes, a Black and Mild, leaning against the pole, the light pole for the street. And he's staying outside because the home, this small little shotgun home, had a loved one inside. Not only that, but insane amounts of trash. Yes, real trash, especially at the back door, where it looked like months and months of garbage and garbage bags had piled up that they didn't take outside, but a hoarder, if you will, that collected filing cabinets, wheelchairs, and had just the wherewithal to have this tiny little walkway for her to navigate to each room and get to and from her house accordingly. And if you follow me on YouTube at Nathan Morris Music, all these episodes you can see in video, I'm over here showing just this tiny walkway that you could walk through. So to get the cot through there was going to be tedious, but of course this loved one was in the far back room. In the far back room also was before animal control came to get the dog, a dog with the mother, the owner, her. And the loved one was in the very back room, in the back furthest corner from the door. Every room packed pretty high to the ceiling, close to, as my brain recalls, it could have been up to my shoulders or above my head, but nonetheless, it was just very claustrophobic. The odor was bad. I mean, that's, hoarding is a very terrible, horrible disease, because people who experience grief and trauma, and some people will resort to buying, or some people will resort to cutting, or some people will resort to doing something in an obsessive manner, and it's sad. And it's actually not uncommon at all. I've been to many hoarders' homes. Now, the level of hoarding and the manner in which they hoard and what they hoard, it's hard to say all that, is interesting in and of itself. This individual didn't seem to care because they had attachment to all the things, everything. Pots and pans in the room, not in the kitchen. I do know that we went by a kitchen because I saw just a portion of the stovetop, but you wouldn't have been able to see and recognize it as such otherwise. I mean, it was an open concept, open. It was an open floor plan, and everything was just piled up. We get to the loved one, her room, and the bed just had a tiny spot that could have been used to be laid on, and they were not there. They were actually in the midst of their things on their back, and probably a heart attack is what ended her life, because usually whenever someone is experiencing a heart attack, so I've heard from coroners and other individuals, is you get very hot, and so you will work to take your clothes off. So it's very common because you want to take your pants off to get some fresh air. That's what this individual had done, and in her lap was a bunch of dog toys. And that's really sad, because the dog was probably with her, grieving, wanting to play with her, wanting her to play with the dog, never getting a response. Animal control had already picked the dog up by the time we get there, and there was no way to get to her with the cot at that time. So we have to formulate a plan. And as we're walking out to formulate the plan to get the cot, I mean, we're lifting and pushing and maneuvering. Once we get to the doorway of the room again, because we're not getting any further. We inquire about her next of kin, her loved ones. And the coroner stated that they notified and got in touch with the woman's son, who is a truck driver, and his response was, "I don't give a shit what you do with her," i.e. he didn't care. He had no part of the thing. He did commit to and say he would take care of would be the cremation authorization forms. He was the legal next of kin and signing off on. She was not married, but he didn't care. "I don't care what you do with her," which made me very sad. I don't know what the dynamic was. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't a good mother. Maybe I can't speak to that, but it helped me to realize that she obviously was a very lonely person and resorted to something that would make her feel maybe less lonely in that moment. But what we did was, is we would take all the items, the mattress, everything, and we began to throw it. So there's one pile that's higher than the other, and we need it to be lower so we can get, so we're just throwing it because we asked the coroner, "What are we going to do?" Well, the house was in such disarray that the coroner was notified. Again, the son didn't want to have anything to do with it. They were going to raise it, bulldoze it, knock it over, everything. Nothing was going to be kept. So they said, "It's getting knocked over." So there was obviously law enforcement there as well, because that's kind of a protocol thing. But we all assisted, gloved up, and taking items that were memorable probably to them and moving them, just having to toss them to the other side so that we could retrieve her, so that she could have care. Obviously, in life, she was alone. And in death, if we could help it just for a little bit in some small manner, her not be. And I don't know what came of the home. I do know that it was knocked down. I don't know how long of a time it was. I don't know what came of her son. I don't know a lot, but I do recall that moment. I recall that circumstance, not just because of a house that was filled with things, stuff, but because of all that it represented to get to that point, all of the years of whatever, the sadness, the heartache, the heartbreak, and being alone to live your remainder years and moments, and in death not wanting to have someone claim you. And I want to live a life of meaning and do the best that I can so that that doesn't happen. And again, I don't want to say for certain that that's what she did or didn't do, but she was cared for reverently and well, and everyone's deserving of that. And that's what I preach about. I talk about that all the time. It's like, I don't care if you have a little or a lot. I think there's something beautiful about a human connection. And I feel great when I make you feel great. I feel great when I know that you feel loved. That's how I receive love, is giving it. And also when you tell me, if you tell me I'm handsome and, you know, I sing well, then I'm butter in your hands. Although you don't want to put butter in your hands. My point is people need to know that they're valued. And that's why I love the profession, because overall it does give you the opportunity to do that. And that's a wonderful thing. And may her memory be eternal. And Mr. Day, who retired, may he enjoy his Civil War reenactments. He loved Civil War, so he would go and reenact all these battles. There's a lot of battlefields around where I'm from, and it's really cool to hear him talk about dressing up in the period pieces. And anyway, I'm off topic, and I'm just thinking of her today. And that's interesting, because I think of people, like, that was the first death call I went on, and I still can go through this timeline and think of people that have impacted me or made me think of something or make me think differently or make me see things differently. And I reflect upon them, and I feel that that's an opportunity to honor them, even if it's a sad situation or maybe it's a heavy situation. I still think being mindful of them is an honorable thing. So this day, I hope that you feel valued. I hope you feel like you have purpose, because you do. And if you don't feel you do, then maybe you should tweak something. And I just hope that you find that. And I'm grateful for you being here. I'm grateful for you following me on all the socials. Click the link in my description here and check out the new merch store. Brand new merch. Get you a mug. I would appreciate it so very much. Bunch of people are supporting the merch and getting shirts. I can't wait to start seeing them out. I've seen them in airports, and I look forward to seeing the new stuff in airports and the new mugs in airports, or just in person too. Can't wait to announce shows. Last Time is killing it at Radio Still. Thank you for that support. Follow me on YouTube if you have you. Of course you have YouTube. Nathan Morris Online. Be sure to subscribe. Click the bell to be notified. Make sure you consider following Bonus Noise. It's subscribers only. It's look into the guts of, the heart of, the journal of, where go a lot deeper. Subscribers only, $4.99 a month. But just thanks for supporting, because shit's tight. Everybody's tight right now, the economy, and you have a million other things that you could be buying. So for you to financially support with purchasing merch, being here, it means so very much to me. Find what you love, be nerdy about it. I appreciate you more than you know. This is episode 184 of season 3 of You'll Die Trying. You matter. You're worth it. We'll see you at the next one.